Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. This is Lost Arts Radio Live for February 1st, first day of February in 2020. And first month went by in about 10 minutes, it seemed to me, and so things are moving really fast. And obviously major developments. I had planned on different show layout and subject tonight, but I think it's important that we talk about the situation with coronavirus and everything that's been happening up to the minute with that. What to say about it? You know, we had a few days ago, I think it was, the WHO declared a pandemic emergency. And I don't even remember looking at what level it is. I suspect that if swine flu coming out of Mexico into the U.S. was a level six, which is the highest level I know of anyway, that this must be at least the same thing. And considering the history of the WHO, one might wonder if it was actually true or not, because when you look at things like the Zika panic, and you know, which was completely fake, and in my experience, and the doctors we had on were confirming that the microcephaly, which was blamed on the Zika virus, was actually an issue with pesticides being used in South America by some of the nefarious companies that are involved in the GMOs and all that. That was a fake. That was a complete fake, and they knew it from the beginning. The one from Mexico, I think it was called a swine flu at that point. Again, we had doctors on that confirmed that that was genetically engineered. And you might ask, wait a minute, why are so-called leaders that are supposed to be making sure that we're okay and protecting us against real threats, maybe I missed something, why are they making viruses more dangerous in laboratories? And I think there's two excuses that are often mentioned for that. One is, you know, we have to be ready for wars, and if other people are going to do, other nations, in other words, are going to do bioweapons, in other words, weaponized diseases, then we just have to, because if we don't, we'll lose, right? And the other people who wipe out the world with their bioweapon will win. And we can't have that. So we got to develop worse biological organisms than they do. That way we'll have peace through deterrent, you know, similar to the nuclear weapons thing. And there's some truth in that, unfortunately, but it's not, it doesn't have a good outcome in the long run, as you might imagine. The only thing that has a good outcome in the long run is a totally different consciousness. You know, if it's just, you know, kill the other person before they kill you, that's not a really good prognosis for humanity, or because of the technologies and weapons, not a very good prognosis for other life forms on the planet. You probably figured that out too. But that's what's going on. That's what was happening with that virus that we had the doctor on, who was talking about how it was connected into the CDC planning to make tons of money off of the injections that were supposed to be the cure for that, which were also patented. And there was a co-patent holder in the government, in that department of the government, which is unbelievable as well. I mean, no, it's not really unbelievable if you know what's going on, but it seems very strange, to say the least. But that's what's going on. These so-called health agencies at the top are part of the larger conglomerate of entities making money off of the problem reaction solution scenario that they're experts at. Anyway, that must have been very disappointing for them, because that level six pandemic kind of fizzled out, and the only people that were killed in any numbers were not from the virus, but from the solution, the injections, which the government bought, I think it was billions of them, to keep us safe. And those ended up killing people more than the virus. So they had to give up on that one. It must have been very disappointing for them. And it's similar to, you know, with the Zika that I mentioned, that was actually something, apparently, according to these doctors, coming from the pesticides that were used in South America and being blamed on a virus that basically was usually a very mild situation. It's very similar to the polio outbreak in the 50s, where in the end it turned out that some of the doctors that we've had on have connected it, and also in certain books that are really good background reading on this. It was connected to DDT, which I remember as a little kid in the early 50s, that we were seeing commercials saying it was fine to play in DDT. It was just really good for you. In fact, it would probably keep you even healthier than fresh air, because there wouldn't be any evil germs in there. They'd all be dead, and the mosquitoes especially, which should have been a big clue, but we were totally clueless and thought, wow, killing all the germs is the only way to have health. We got to sterilize the planet, and that's the mentality that they wanted us to have. The difference is, in this case, it looks like this one is not fake. And it also looks like it's not intentional. That it is intentional in the sense that, from what we can tell, there is a joint project between the U.S. and Canada taking place in a Canadian lab where they work on making the viruses as horrible as possible, with your tax dollars, of course, to have a chance to wipe out the world, saying, of course, they'd never get out. And they invited a bunch of foreign students and professors and things from China to participate. And they thought, well, what could go wrong with that? That's a great idea. And then there was a story that we posted from Forbidden Knowledge TV, which was a good video you might want to watch on lostartsradio.com. And it was talking about how this was stolen by one of the visiting people from China that was invited, the punishment for which was to send them back with a free air ticket to China. And they went back, and where this virus escaped from, and I don't think it was intentional, was what I've heard anyway, is, as far as we know, the only BSL-4 lab studying these deadly viruses and trying to make them worse. That's a weird reason to study them, isn't it? Reflects the condition of humanity and consciousness right now. But the only BSL-4 lab that has the job of making these viruses as bad as possible happens to be in the city of Wuhan, or as Mike says, Wuhan. That's probably the more correct pronunciation of that name. And I don't think it was meant to escape, at least not by the people in the lab. It was probably being developed so they could use it against the U.S. and other Western countries that are the evil Satan, you know. And I don't think they plan to let it go on their own people. Now, it could have been some covert double cross or something, that somebody snuck in and released it so that it was released, you know, in country in China. But in any case, it looks almost certain that that's where it came from. Originally, the media was saying, oh, it came from some market, you know, where they were, because they were eating bats and snakes and things like that, which I don't think is a very good thing to do if you want to be healthy and stay alive. But it's a custom there. And it's been since confirmed that the virus went to that market from somewhere else. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's in the same city as the only lab that works on weaponized viruses, specifically including that one. But you can draw your own conclusions. So I thought we would have a guest on today, which is not our normal protocol for this program. And I'll tell you about her in a second. But I also want to say that on the news program that is forbidden to ever talk about, because they've been banned from everywhere, they had a guest on, Steve, a great source of a lot of incredible information. And he said, no, there's no problem. It's being blown out of proportion. All you have to do is take care of yourself. It's not serious. I think that's no disrespect to Steve at all. I really have great admiration for a lot of the things that he's done and educated people on. But in this case, I think that he's completely wrong, that it is very serious, and that China is not locking people into these cities to die because they just are bored and have extra time on their hands. I think they know that it could wipe out a large part of their country, if not the rest of the world. And so they're actually welding apartments, buildings closed, and doing other serious draconian things, and barricading off whole cities, tens of millions of people. And Mike has a great article about that we posted on lostartsradio.com, and you can read it there about the 11 cities that they've made the strategic decision to protect in China, which are the main military and industrial hubs of that country. And I think it's really important, and we're going to go to the guest, but it's really important to remember that, you know, when we talk about these news developments and war developments and things like that, it's not a whole country that is perpetrating in general these really evil things. The people in every country, as far as I know, in, you know, every continent and country in the world, most of the people are just regular good people. And in war propaganda of different kinds, they want you conditioned to hate the people of a certain country or a certain region of the world. That's complete nonsense. And don't fall for it. Because it's not the general population that's causing this kind of trouble, although it is the general population that could solve it. But it's these tiny cartels of rulers manipulating the rest of the 7 billion people on the planet that intend to wipe them all out. And it's a problem right now. And because of the technology, including weaponized viruses in their hands, it's not one you can just kind of ignore and say it's not a big deal. We're going to talk about what the White House just declared with our guest, which was a public health emergency. And that is pretty serious because they think they can suspend the Constitution. And when the founders in America, on behalf of really the whole world, where they said everybody has the same rights, and they didn't say that the rights could ever be suspended. Now, you know, otherwise, you can have the best constitution in the world saying everybody has total freedom as long as they don't hurt anybody. And you say, well, we have a great constitution, but forgot to tell you, it's an emergency, and the emergency will let you know if it ever ends. That's the end of the constitution. That's why you can't do that. So our guest is Celeste Solem. She's been on the show, I think, twice before. Great lady who lives in Montana, and some unusual background and connections that we'll tell you about. And then we'll discuss this subject of the national public health emergency in America and what that means for this country and the rest of the world, which I think is relevant to you, whatever part of the world you might be listening in. So I'm going to try, although I'm not a technology genius, to see if I can add her to the show right now. I know she's waiting for us. And I think this should work. Let's find out here. Add. Let's see what happens. Celeste. Hi, Celeste.
Hi. Can you see me?
Nice to see you again. Yeah, you look perfect.
Okay.
Nice clear background and everything. It's great. So welcome back.
Yeah,
I heard heard it's not very nice weather where you are.
65 mile an hour winds, and right now it's freezing rain. Uh-huh. But I'm looking out my picture window, it's supposed to turn to snow, and so then we'll have snow.
Okay, so that, but that's warm for Montana, right? At least it's not below zero or anything.
Yeah, usually at this time of year it's minus 30 to minus 50.
Yeah, so you're having a heat wave basically
this year, but that is following the solar what it did 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's following the exact pattern. It was exactly the same 11 years ago.
I think so. We had your friend David Dubon on the show recently, and we talked about stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just for people that haven't met you yet, since mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about the public health emergency and what that means for U.S. and the rest of the world by implication, that why don't we just give you a minute to review why you have some insight into that, what you've done, and your connections that might be useful and things like that.
Okay, so I have a background in environmental medicine, and I also work for FEMA. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when Homeland Security came into being, I worked for both agencies.
Okay.
So that's kind of my background. My background was plans, although you kind of do a little bit of everything. And I've been involved in every type of activation that there is.
Okay.
Like Y2K, 9/11, floods, all the weather stuff, earthquakes, you name it, bugs, that type of thing.
What I just brought up before you came on is that when the founders of this country introduced the Constitution, which was supposed to protect everybody's rights against the government and each other if they went crazy, mm-hmm. it didn't really say that, well, these are all your rights, whatever country you live in, by the way, but if we declare an emergency, they're all suspended. They didn't say that. And that's what one aspect of what's happening, about to happen right now, right?
And well, the thing is back in history, you got to remember that time. Sanitation was a big issue. They yes. didn't have the toilets and the sewers and septic tanks and all of that. So they kind of left public health. It was a great concern because many people died from disease. So yeah. they kind of left it out of the Constitution. But for us in the modern era, that now you can drive a Mack truck through it. And that's what is going to happen. So...
yeah. So, okay, let's describe for people. I always like to bring everyone into the conversation without assuming that they know part of what we're talking about or anything like that. So, why don't you give your understanding of the development of the coronavirus situation to this point, and then we'll talk about the WHO declaration, which was, I think, a few days ago, and the one yesterday, which was from the U.S. government and what those mean.
Okay, so basically it's a novel coronavirus and it is upper respiratory. The people would get pneumonia and a lot of people were dying. A lot of people were projectile vomiting blood and then just dying. And whenever you see the word novel, you know it's a bioweapon. It has been created by man in a laboratory, and it's weaponized. So this is something that they were playing around with in the lab. You know, I've heard all sorts of speculation of what country of origin, but the interesting thing is when the World Health Organization did do the public health emergency, mm-hmm. They did say that this is not classified. They don't really even know what they're dealing with. So we really don't know, other than it's an upper respiratory that kills. It kind of has some hemorrhagic features. It looks like the body. I actually transcribed from Chinese doctor reports that... the immune system, in many cases, didn't look like it recognized it as a pathogen.
Right.
It just snuck in there and then devastated the body, shut down the organs, septic shock, and that type of thing.
We have heard that it's a patented variety of coronavirus. So for them to say that they have no idea what it is and it's patented, that there's something incongruent there, it seems to me.
But I think there's different patents and there might be different variations of this bug.
Okay.
I've seen several different patents and different players. So, which one is actually it?
Right.
And then we've got the mutagenic factor of this.
Exactly.
That
it's
changing like every few days. And then with the cosmic ray situation, that all... also causes mutagenesis. So we've got a real problem on our hands. So they
it could have originated from the patented variety, which is one of the specific ones they work on in Wuhan, or
right.
Wuhan, in the only BSL-4 facility in China, to my knowledge.
Right.
And be changed from when it got out because
right.
of what you just said.
Right.
Which means the patented vaccine that they announced right before the outbreak, by chance, may be, actually it wouldn't matter to them, but it may be completely unrelated to the current strain, right?
Absolutely. And, we haven't got that far in America, but I do briefings, with David and other folks over in China. And apparently people that are sick are being approached by medical professionals and given a shot, and then they die.
Right. And so. I want to say something about two things about that. One is that everybody says upper respiratory, which I'm sure is the case. But what, you can hold your breath for quite a while. I mean, a minute or so sometimes. how come people are just walking down the street and then they fall on their face and can't move? That's something other than normal upper respiratory, right?
It actually can move very fast. Like, you know, if you have studied the Black Plague or some of these really nasty plagues, yeah. I mean, people were with family in the morning and a couple hours later they were dead.
Okay.
So it really can move that fast.
So it can go within seconds from being able to walk to falling and not being able to even prevent your fall. Just no control. Because I've seen that on video over and over.
The person may, like, have felt funny, you know, didn't feel well, but they're still walking around. Okay. So it's not like they were perfectly healthy and 15 seconds later they're dead. Right. You know, they probably had some type of symptoms, but it did move very rapidly. But those are probably people with chronic health conditions.
Okay. So that last stage that you see on the video, that's something beyond just shortness of breath or something, right? Because those people don't move.
There did seem to be a hemorrhagic. There were actually several different mechanisms in the report that I looked at and transcribed that indicated that it had a hemorrhagic type feature where there was uncontrolled blood loss inside.
I also heard that one of our people said that there were HIV genes discovered in the sequence along with the expected coronavirus features, which coronavirus is a family that includes things they find in you and when you get a cold or the flu or something like that. So this is just a little bit different kind. But whatever lab this was found HIV sequence within the coronavirus. Had you heard about that?
Yeah, there's actually two other things. It may have an Ebola component to it. Mm-hmm. And also, this is really interesting. When I transcribed this, and it just seemed so out of place, and it was so out of place that I dismissed it at first. And then I came back to it like 2 days later. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh. So in their blood, they also found it's called the plant destroyer, and it's a mold or a fungus. It thrives in really moist environments, which of course around the world, people, many places have had so much rain and so much water. Right. And I noticed, like for the last 3 months, my plants were dying. These are established trees, and they were just dying, and I could not stop it no matter what I tried. And they've been given everything. It didn't make any sense. And then I saw this, and that was a component in these people's blood. Wow. This umacite, that is a plant killer. Another thing that is very interesting is that this particular plant destroyer causes violent anger in a person.
The same organism that kills the plants, you're saying?
Yes, yes. And what are we seeing in China? We are seeing riots, and we're seeing protests and some revolution going on. And
people are commenting on some of those videos that the Chinese people are usually very disciplined, and even in emergency situations tend to stay focused and calmer and things like that. And the videos that are coming out of China are just the opposite. People in total panic, right?
Yeah. Well, don't forget, this all came down during their holiday time. Right. And imagine if something like that hit during our holiday time, people would be more upset than normal. They would, you know, because it's a time for families to get together and right. You have a good time, you have some good meals, and now everybody, you know, basically society has stopped over there.
So when the WHO declared the emergency, the pandemic emergency, the U.S. position was just waiting at that point And then yesterday that changed. So what is that? What happened and what does it mean?
So basically in August of 2016, the Health and Human Services knew this was coming. And so they did an 88-page proposed regulation on communicable disease. And in that, it does talk about this novel coronavirus, as well as other respiratory viruses, Ebola, HIV.
That's pretty interesting that they talk about the novel coronavirus before mm-hmm. it gets discovered.
Yes. Right? So it's all in this 88-page document from August 15th, 2016. It became a final rule in October, and that's when I broke the story because it became a law of the land. Basically, it's medical martial law.
Right.
And it was sitting on the books, and I was trying to warn people, but because we weren't faced with any big diseases that called for medical martial law, it just kind of sat there and nobody was really very much interested. But, things like detaining, quarantining, who pays for it, where you can, what type of examinations are they going to force you to have, mandatory vaccinations, even to the degree of electronic surveillance. Let's say you're allowed to be in your house, but you're told because you've been exposed, you know, they say you can be in your house. You might have to wear one of those criminal bans on your right. electronic RFID tracker things.
Yeah.
Wearables.
Like somebody on probation or something like that, right?
Yes, yes. And have people checking in on you, and that is happening in Washington State right now.
Right.
All sorts of, you know, like face-to-face interviews like we're doing right now with nurses and doctors to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's very intrusive.
One of the things that I wish we had about 3 hours on this show to talk, we're going to have to stop about 20 after or so. But one of the things, you know, there's several people that we're trying to stay on the air to get information to people, and we're aware of a lot of things that would get us banned in the middle of a show. And right. one is mentioning the full names of anybody that's been declared a non-person now. So I can only use their first names. But Mike has written numerous good articles that are posted on lostartsradio.com about the binary weapon system that he describes as this particular situation. And the second half of the binary weapon is injected into your body through a hollow needle, and under the guise of being the cure or the prevention, I'm sorry, so that you won't get the first part of the binary weapon. But when they combine, that's really when it becomes most effective. So in his mind, and I think he's probably right, this is like one of the major concerns in the whole situation. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I mean, down the road, you know, you could get anything from cancer to, I know, you know, this was like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I don't know. My doctor badgered me to get a DPT booster. Uh-huh. And it was before cell phones or anything. And I just conceded. I didn't really want one, but I just to get them off my back, I did it. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I hadn't had very many vaccines, just a couple. And I had like 100, by the time I got out to my car, I was having 100 seizures. I was in the parking lot right outside the door. And
well, there's no connection to anything. If you get something injected into you, it's never connected to what happens. Just as a general rule, right?
Absolutely.
So how long did that last, that amazing coincidence?
I actually was incapacitated for 4 hours. I was supposed to go read to a lady that was dying of brain cancer. And when I finally got enough together, let's just say. I got there, but to get to her place, I mean, I knew the place. I mean, it had driven many times, but I was very confused and it took me a long time. I did eventually get there. I did read to her, but what an ordeal. And after that, never again. Never again.
Yeah, you got your final educational session on that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you're talking about the declaration of a public health emergency. It's the planned sequel to this, a set of rules that were proposed by, not in the legislature, I mean in the Congress, but by the agency itself, right?
Yes.
Was that FDA or HHS?
Health and Human Services.
Okay. So there was a time gap of what, about a year and a half between that being finalized and the current declaration?
So it was proposed in August 15th, 2016. Uh-huh. It was finalized 90 days later in October 15th, 2016, where it just kind of sat around until now.
Okay. 17, 18, 19, and so like 3.5 years or so. Those guys are so psychic in foreseeing this. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe the detail in this. They calculated out what it would do to the economy, what it would do for interstate travel, because you got to know that especially there is a very high likelihood that very soon we are not going to be able to travel in between interstate because of the chance that of the spread during this it's a communicable, but we're not symptomatic. So it's very high likelihood in the next 30 days that will come out that, no, you really can't go across anywhere but in your state. You can travel in your state.
Right. And a lot of states are not self-sufficient on food. Most of them aren't, especially in the winter.
Yes.
So they know that this is going to be an issue.
Yes.
You know, that people won't have supplies to live. And what's strange about this and comments on really the intention of the whole thing is like when you go back to the Ebola crisis, which I think they must have been really disappointed with because it really didn't get going in the U.S. And when it first came out in West Africa, which was again right near a BSL-4 lab that somehow let it out, and that one could have been intentional, I think, but that's just my opinion. One of our doctor friends had discovered that I think, what was it, Threat Reduction Agency, one of these military groups had found out and confirmed that 10 parts per million nanosilver completely stopped the Ebola. I mean, it wiped it out, it destroyed it. And that was classified. It was released, I think, by accident, and then probably reclassified. And this doctor tried to send the nanosilver to take care of the people in West Africa, and WHO called, I forget what airline for sure, and they told him, don't deliver it, warehouse it. If you ever experiment at all with that particular material, which is basically water with an imperceptible amount of silver in it, that you won't get any more loans to your country, and it'll be really bad. And so it had to be smuggled in, and the people that got it were fine. And I suspect that or combinations with iodine or something else might very well completely counteract this virus too. And so part of the information censorship is to make sure that nobody finds out simple natural cures for this thing. At least that's my impression.
Absolutely. Okay. So they do work with the FDA on that level to make sure that it's only the approved treatment that they're going to come up with, this vaccine that's going to be mandatory.
And then when the vaccine starts killing people, and of course I want to say this is just conspiracy theory, go to your doctor and get all the drugs that they want you to take and all
Absolutely.
That. I can't say anything because I'm not a doctor, but just as a private conspiracy theorist that doesn't know anything, when the people start dying from the injections that they're getting, it'll be said that that's because they didn't get them fast enough or get enough of them, and they'll push it harder, I suspect. Does that seem like the strategy that's likely to happen?
Absolutely. And the alternative treatments are not going to be allowed to be talked about. Right. And we may see, like, well, a lot of our supplements and things come from China. So
yeah, that's true.
The supply chain is going to be disrupted.
Right. So, it'll be called misinformation, I think, about natural remedies and things.
Yeah. Or disinformation.
Or disinformation, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what does that make you feel like you want to do before this gets locked down? I mean, what are the possible positive things for people to do in response?
So I think that a person should do what they need to do as far as food preparation, make sure they have adequate food in case the food, I mean, that's good for earthquakes. It's good for the, if you got the flu, a winter storm, like I've got the 65 mile an hour winds, you know, it just makes sense to have food on hand. If you have medications or supplements that you take, you know, have those on hand and have a good amount that could see you through. And I think, you know, what we're seeing in China is people panicking and being overtaken emotionally and mentally. And I think we really need to keep our humanity in this. If we see a friend or a neighbor, reach out a hand. Don't, you know, don't be, you know, I'm just got it for myself, you know.
Right, right.
If somebody needs something, give them a hand. Keep your humanity. Keep that love flowing. Take time to ground yourself, to relax, whether you're prayer or meditating or whatever. This thing is designed to get your thoughts totally focused on it. And then it controls you. It kind of drags you around like a fish on a hook.
Exactly.
But, you know, we have to break that. And that means getting away from the screens, getting away from the news. Yeah. You know, whatever is peaceful to you, if it's reading a book, if it's taking care of plants, whatever is your relaxing thing, a hot bath, you know?
Yeah. And even the people that don't know to do that, that are probably most of them totally panicked, most of them survive it, even if they get the virus, right? If they've got basic survival materials.
Yes.
It's not 100% kill, right? It's like somewhere between 5 and 15, I guess, right? Is that what you're getting?
You know, I don't think we can look at the numbers of people, and I don't think we can really adequately tell the kill rate, just because I don't think we're getting the correct information.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would treat it just like any flu bug, except this is a serious one. And whatever precautions you take for a virus, I would beef up your immune system beforehand and just keep doing that.
Right.
Like, it was actually kind of funny because I mentioned to Doug just yesterday, my nose is awful stuffy, and I thought, I just feel like I'm getting the flu, but I haven't been anywhere. I've not been anywhere. I've just been holed up here, you know. And I realized, and then I had done a show, and I got all my supplements out to show folks what they could do, right?
Yeah.
And I had forgotten to put my vitamin D back in my thing, so I hadn't been taking vitamin D all week, and. You know, I'm in a log cabin. It's winter time.
Yeah, you're not lying out in the sun a lot lately.
No. So that's what it was. And I took my vitamin D and I took a little bit of vitamin A. And you know what? I feel just great now. So.
Yeah, we've had a lot of experts on explaining to people that vitamin D is an essential link in the immune system. And you really don't want to forget about that. And if you happen to be out in the sun a lot, you might be, and you don't have too many clothes on, you might be able to get it from the sun, which is the best. But if not, it makes a huge difference. They've done studies on regular flu on people taking vitamin D versus not, and it cuts it down to almost nothing. So.
Well, I actually was a firm Polaroid sunglass girl, living in Southern California, being a surfer girl and everything.
Yeah.
And I love my Polaroid sunglasses, but you know what? You absorb so much vitamin D from your retina.
Right.
So now, only in some cases where there's a lot of reflectivity, like on the water or something, then I'll put them on. But other than that, I just want all that vitamin D that I can get.
Isn't that interesting that everybody's been taught wear sunglasses all the time? The sun is designed to destroy your eyes, which really makes a lot of sense. And you should always wear massive amounts of clothes and or sunscreen, which is carcinogenic in itself. But you should do that because the sun is so bad for you. Yeah. So that's good guidance, right? You just have to reverse it, and it's pretty reliable.
It is. It is. It's really wonderful when you get, you know, simple things like that that can keep you healthy. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything. You just can do it and you get the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I might wear sunglasses on a brilliant clear day if it's all covered with snow and you can't see.
Right.
But, you know, situations like that, but otherwise not. So what else can we say? I think one of the most useful things overall is the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't fall for the program that, all right, people say, you know, the cliche is, tell me when it's time to panic. And the answer to that is panic is a really bad idea. In fact, fear in general is totally useless. And I've heard people say, well, it's how you escape saber-toothed tigers. And if our ancestors hadn't been terrified, we wouldn't be here because the tigers would have eaten all of them. And I just remember that the fastest runners in the world don't have to get scared before they set records. You know, you're more effective if you don't do that.
Well, most of the time, I live in grizzly bear country, as you know, and black bears too. And it's really more effective to just stand still and not panic and to be still. And they can sense fear in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's better.
The fear says, come attack me, right?
Yeah. It's something to do with the adrenaline. I think there's a scent to the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why if people eat game, they don't want to scare the game because it'll send that adrenaline into the game and it taints the meat. That's not interesting. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. The animals in some cases are a lot more perceptive than humans because we're wrapped up in thoughts running everywhere, you know, not focused in on what's going on. So, and as far as it might be a good time not to eat a majority of your food is junk food too, right? If you want to keep your immune system working.
We're in this time where there's a lot of the cosmic rays are very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's damaging our immune system, like especially our microbiome, but it can do everything. So who are the people that are going to die first? I mean, a healthy 20-year-old can drop over dead with a cosmic ray. And a lot of people don't realize that. That's why I talk about layers of food and supplements to protect against that. But the people that will die first are going to be the people that eat fast food, junk food, and a lot of sugar. Those will be
Which are all designed to be really attractive to eat as much as you can possibly eat, right? With the chemicals that create the taste and all that stuff.
Yeah. But once you get detached from those tastes and you taste real food, like I grow all my own, like, you know, all my own food, and it has such wonderful taste that when you taste something artificial, like somebody got me this soda that was supposed to be natural, and I could tell it was a synthetic chemical, and this woman thought that it was a natural thing, you know.
Right. And it was incredibly delicious, probably, right?
I couldn't even drink it. I took one sip and I put it down the sink because it tasted like poison to me.
Right. And when you say you grow your own food, it reminds me that a lot of people say, well, if you live in, you know, southern Mexico, that might work. But if you're in a temperate climate, and especially in extreme north or south, that's completely, you know, impractical. And I think you would probably disagree with that, right?
I would disagree because I live in the Rocky Mountains with minus 50, and the highest it's been here is 107. Uh-huh. And I grow my own citrus trees and spices and 50 different kinds of tomatoes, 100 different kinds of peppers, crops from around the world in different time periods. So you can do it. And flowers right. for the soul.
And yeah, exactly. And a significant part of that is indoors, right?
Yes. Yes. I have food growing in every room in my house.
Neat. So you just need some lights, right? And
some of them do have lights and others don't have lights. Like in my bathroom, I don't have lights for my banana, my ginger. They're wow. just in there. They're just happy, you know?
Wow, that's great. And are you currently putting out information in a newsletter or a website or anything like that that people can follow and be in touch with you, what you're doing that way?
So I've got my Facebook page, which is Celeste Bishop, because Facebook is, my name's Celeste Sullen, but they, you know, latched onto an old name and I can't change it.
Okay.
So I do have stuff, and there's Secret Montana Garden there. I have a lot of pictures and ideas, and I go through whenever I'm fermenting stuff, and I do gift classes. I have my Patreon, and I always tell people, you know, do classes on tips, and I do shows and show and tell on how to grow indoors or...
Okay. Neat. That would be very useful.
Outdoors.
How do people get in touch with that Patreon account?
So it's Shepherd's Heart Farm.
Shepherd, spell it.
SHEPHERDSHEARTFARM.
Okay, great. Is that a website?
That's the Patreon.
So is it patreon.com/that?
Yeah. And then there's shepherdsheart.life. And that's my blog with the news. And I am giving people updates on the coronavirus and as much as I can, and other news that's going on.
Okay. Shepherdsheart.life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a website, and you're updating that whenever you can. So that would be a good one to follow.
Yeah. I've been updating it a couple times a day lately.
Perfect.
It's been pretty busy.
Okay. Okay. Sounds exciting. So, you know, the potential of a time like this is it gives people motivation to actually start taking care of themselves, right?
Absolutely. It
can turn out to be a positive thing.
It is. I mean, if everybody starts eating good food and real food with real ingredients.
Yeah.
Even if you start with one plant and then next year go to two plants, and then build. You don't want to create Rome in a day. It takes time, and you want to learn your lessons. And you're going to have failures, but that's a positive, because then we learn from it and we can do better the next time.
Yeah, exactly. They're a good learning experience.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that you mentioned, I think, is really worth remembering too. As I said, I totally trust government guidance. You just have to remember to reverse almost everything and check, because it might be accurate occasionally by mistake or some other reason, but usually you can just reverse it and it's really useful. And in this case, you mentioned the programming to start seeing each other as enemies and, you know, foreign threats and things like that. So the guidance in that case is love and appreciate each other, right? Put out that frequency instead.
And even when someone approaches you hostily, we can still, we don't, you know, it's a choice that we have. We can
right.
still act loving and caring, even in the face of terrible situation.
Sometimes I've noticed it can really confuse the attacker. They say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be an enemy. How come you like me or care about me or, you know, are trying to do something good? And it could potentially bring up something in them that would make them change and start waking up, right?
And you know, if you've ever looked at any of the great tyrannies in the history of the world, there's always been those survivors who did act kindly or loving in this, whether they were in a concentration camp or whatever, Siberia or whatever, and then they lived because of it.
Because
then the guard would give them a little extra food or, you know, a kindness or something.
Right. And that attitude, I think every cell in your body recognizes it immediately. And instead of being beaten down, it starts to have hope and want to heal. Mm-hmm. So it could make a snowball kind of chain reaction type thing that would be good. Anyway, thank you. I want to keep talking for a couple hours, but we're about out of time. I hope you'll come back soon and do a full show with us.
Okay, sounds great. Well, you have a great evening.
Let's stay in touch, and maybe we can do some more updates as things go on.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Nice seeing you. Thank you.
Yeah, same here. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, so I hope you got something from that. I think she's a wonderful guest whenever we can get a really inspiring person, Celeste Solem. Although, remember, she said on Facebook, it's Celeste Bishop, an older name of hers, and find her on Facebook that way, Celeste Solem for now. And shepherdsheart.life sounds like the place that she's updating the most frequently that would be really good to stay up with. Remember, too, that stay in touch with lostartsradio.com. If we ever talk about anything controversial, God forbid, I hope we never do, but in case it gets seen as that, and we disappear off any of the major platforms you may be watching us on, stay in touch at lostartsradio.com. There's also a mailing list, an email mailing list to get on there that would be good. In case it's the only way we can get information to you and videos and things, we'll do that. And there's a number of ways you can get your name and email address on that if you want to. You'll see a place to actually physically do it and LostArtsRadio.com, or you can email info@LostArtsRadio.com with name and email address, and we'll put it on, or text your name and email to, let me see if I can remember it right, 928-235-4676. I'm pretty sure that's right. Remember that we have Sunday shows continuing with inspirational guests and individuals and organizations that you might not be able to hear about otherwise and that have a lot to teach us. And that's on Sunday afternoons, evenings, 4:30 Pacific, 6 o'clock Pacific. I'm getting our shows mixed up. And 9 o'clock Eastern on Sunday evenings on a lot of different platforms. You can keep up with where that is by going to lostartsradio.com or our site on any of the major channels. Remember, too, that we now are on Brighteon, Brighteon. And you can subscribe now to our channel there, which I recommend, Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. And it's just beginning on Brighteon, but they need to be used a lot more. That's a wonderful non-censoring alternative site that needs support. And that's, you don't have to give a bunch of money, just use it. And that helps them survive. Let's see what else in our last couple of minutes here. I got the Sunday shows tomorrow night because we're doing this on Saturday live. Tomorrow night is the 9th episode of a series with Joel Skousen on history of the deep state that I think you could find interesting. And that's the Sunday show tomorrow night. And then we'll get into other interesting ones. And the last one, a couple weeks from there on Joel's series, which will be put all together in one piece eventually when it's finished. Then we have Planetary Healing Club. And that's also a little bit less likely to disappear with censorship. It's a private group where if you really want to get into, like Celeste suggested, taking better care of yourself, learning about changes not only in physical health habits, but in consciousness, like she was talking about, that can help your body and your mind and your emotional state and your relationships with other humans and other life forms on the planet. And you're ready to really get into working on yourself with those things. I'll personally invite you right now to join us there if you want to. It's more the not activism, like going out and protesting so much, although sometimes that's good to do. But activism working on yourself. And we all have a tendency to be critiquing everybody else and say, oh, what a, you know, good or bad person this guy or this lady is. And that wastes our attention most of the time. It's good to be strategically aware. But your real main focus and attention is needed in self-assessment and self-upgrade of lifestyle habits and the things that really do control health and disease. Because as Pasteur found out before he died, it's not the germ that is the focus. It's what he called the terrain. So the terrain means the condition of your body tissues. And also I would add the condition of your emotional state and your mental focus and all that. If you work on those, the response of the microorganisms to your body is completely different. And that's not being taught in academia these days, but it will eventually be rediscovered. It's been known in the long past before. It's still true. Your body was still designed by a much higher power than these academic community. And if you start learning the basic laws of how to work with it, which is what I've been working on for the last 50 some years, we get to share that. Not medical advice. We're not allowed to do it. And I don't want to do anything like that anyway, because it's your body. I don't want to tell you what to do. But as far as sharing ancient information that's relevant to today, that's where we can do it for the moment anyway. And if you want to be part of that, there are small dues for it. And it's not to be greedy or anything. It's to try to stay on the air, and to the dues all go to our nonprofit that keeps all this work going. And we'd like it to eventually get enough money to build a school and demonstrate these things in person so you could come and experience them firsthand. But it takes a bunch of money and we don't have it yet. So if you happen to have resources and you want to help us, we have donate buttons on lostartsradio.com. and also on lostartsresearchinstitute.org. And you might find a bunch of interesting information on both of those sites. And I invite you to take a look at them. And if you happen to be ready to do some work on yourself that's serious and based on some of this old information that's not normally shared, the access point to that, the meetings for that, is at planetaryhealing.com. And you can get in that way if you're not sure whether it's worth your time and whether it's going to be tailored to you. Just, you know, email us and write to me, richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'll answer questions about that. I'm not going to push membership in that group if it's not appropriate for you right now and it's not the kind of thing you want to do. But if it is, and you're anywhere in the world and you want it, you want to be part of it, then join us. In fact, the meeting is a half an hour after this live show ends in about a minute. So half an hour from now, we'll be meeting live, interactive. I'll be there on video, and we'll deal with all kinds of information, question and answer, discussion, stuff like that. Nothing's off limits on that discussion. It's uncensored, really relevant, practical stuff, and you can turn the discussion any way you want as long as it's positive and useful, and we'll do our best to cover things that you wouldn't find elsewhere. Just wanted to let you know about that. And then, so that's Planetary Healing Club. Occasionally, I'll do some private sessions with people if they need it. Anything in the realm of health or consciousness, information sharing tailored to you and upgrading your life and self-transformation. If you want to see more about that, go to lostartsradio.com and look for the private sessions tab. And if there are questions about that, let us know. And we'll do the best we can to answer those too. Anyway, I wish everybody the best, and let's use this situation and turn it around, not into a panic, bad type thing, but into enough motivation to just push us over the top to start actually taking care of ourselves and spreading an attitude that's exactly opposite of what everybody's supposed to have. You know, preparedness is supposed to get you ready to fight everybody right in an emergency. And I think self-defense is critical. You need that sometimes, and that should never be taken away. But the main thing that we're trying to promote here is not dealing with emergency by everybody fighting and killing each other, because it's really not that great of an idea. But spread a different kind of cooperative energy where you actually care about the other person and realize they're as important as you are or as I am or anybody. And if we have that energy, it's going to be a lot harder to complete the agenda of the rulers have right now. So hope that makes sense to you. I really appreciate your time. We got to get ready for the club meeting. If you're interested in being in it, you might still be able to get in, planetaryhealingclub.com. Otherwise, stay in touch, suggest topics, whatever you want like that, and responses, questions that you might have, and stay in contact, and we'll see you next time. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on subscribestar.com. Just go to subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.